corner?
This, it spins round, but it's noisy. Do you want me to turn it off?
No.
Because it might be background noise.
No, I just
didn't.
No, I don't mind
and
that.
And one
I'm
of them
intrigued.
Are noisy as well. So
it's just that you were talking, and suddenly that started.
Yeah, it comes. Oh, I think it's that one as well. Yeah, that one's doing it. But it's not all the time. It sort of like comes and goes. It's a bit like that noise in the cupboard in the bedroom.
It is, yes.
And we don't know where it's coming from. And it's like a drip, drip.
No, it's the tank.
But Roger thinks it's the tank.
Yeah.
But it's not loud, and he's got hearing problems. But I can't have a rest in the afternoon now because I hear this drip, drip, drip.
Yeah.
And I've been in the cupboard, and we switched the heating off, and anyway, they're coming on the 21st, and I said, but it's an emergency. and you know, I said, we're pensioners. I was really laying it on, you know. And I said, I can't sleep at night, which is a lie. Sorry?
I'm a pensioner.
You're a pensioner, yeah. So he said, no, we don't class it as an emergency.
Well, he hasn't got a sleeper, as far as I know, anyway.
No.
Well, also, it might be a really bad drip that causes a serious problem later on, so it might be more an emergency than
you
know.
Yes, you don't know, really, do you?
No.
Because Conrad put the shower in, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that was unofficial.
I think it's a ball cock valve, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, in the tank itself?
Yeah, the washer's wearing out.
Right. Oh, there you go.
So what we'd love to do, now that we're recording, because we just want to capture your experience in your life in Thamesmead, really, so it could just be a conversation. But now that we've started recording, I just wondered if you could both introduce yourselves just for the recording. Would that be okay?
What do you want me to say? Just my name? Or
your name, and maybe when you moved to Thamesmead or something about yourself?
Yeah, okay. My name's Doreen McLean, previously Irvin and Strachan. I got Idem in. And I was born in Jersey, lived all over the place, joined the Air Force, met a sailor, lived in South Africa, and then we moved to Thamesmead, which was in the newspaper. They were advertising these places. You had to actually go for an interview, and you had to earn a certain amount of money and have a professional job. They were called hire rented. And we had tiles in the bathroom, and we had wooden skirting boards, whereas the other side had plastic skirting boards and had wallpaper in the bathroom, which is the only difference. Oh, and they had a mirror. We had a mirror and they didn't. That was it,
really. That was the difference.
Yeah.
This is the quality side.
Rated. Yeah, we were a bit posh.
Yeah, this is the posh
side. Yeah, a bit posh.
I'm not drunk, I'm just getting
a bit
wobbly.
Yeah. So, right, on to you, Roger.
Yes, my name's Roger. I was very fortunate 30 years ago to meet Doreen. I was married before, and Doreen was married before, so we met up. But I had a job in media resources,
mm-hmm.
and closed circuit television and audio studio and all that sort of thing. And Doreen came in as, I wasn't working for me, I must say that, she was working with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, cool, I could go for that.
Charming, I'm not supposed to say that.
Looks like you did.
So I invited her out, and she was interested in photography. She's a brilliant photographer. And I'm not a brilliant photographer, I'm a record photographer.
Mm.
You know, when the school or schools in the area had a show or something, I'd go there and video it or stills. But she's a far better photographer.
No, but you became all creative, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under your guidance, dear. So we went to Rochester, and she didn't run away.
No, I was taking pictures of paving stones.
Yeah, and I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said, it's patterns, isn't it?
Patterns and colours and textures and, yeah.
Now, I would have got the paving stones to stand up straight, you know, in the right order, and look front.
That's
amazing.
Us.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. But she's wonderful. Fantastic.
How long have you lived in this house?
I moved in the 20th of July 1972. So that's 50 years next July.
So you were two.
And I'd moved about 5 or 6 times in 3 years with my first husband because he was in the Navy. And I was actually pregnant when I moved in here. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Wow. Because we lived in rented places that were really rough.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah. And I still like the fact that, you know, the windows, all one side of the house is just light.
Yeah.
You know, just got light. You got the whole width, I think it's 30 foot wide and 72 drop. So, yeah, it's a very modern, nice,
comfortable house.
Yeah.
Especially in 1972, that was quite radical. Mm. Were you aware of that? Because this was a new development then when you moved in.
Yeah. They were still building. They didn't have any shops or buses, and they didn't have the bridge over there. They didn't. Tavy Bridge wasn't there. That none of that was there, and the houses just there were still being built.
So it's quite isolated, almost like an island.
It was
community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. I think because I'd moved around so much. Yeah. My first husband, you know, I just seem to make friends wherever I go anyway, so
yeah.
It wasn't really a problem. I used to go to the Adventure Playground, where all the mums used to go, because a lot of the people that moved in here were from the East End, and I think they were pulling down a lot of property there, so yeah. There was a lot of East Enders came here.
It was like an East Ender migration.
Yeah, I think it must have been, actually. There was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're right in the heart of Thamesmead here, and you've been here since 1972.
Yeah.
So how have you seen it change then? How has it evolved over that time?
Right. It's quite a difficult one, really. It used to have a really good reputation, and we used to get a lot of Japanese tourists come round taking pictures of the estate, loads and busloads, you know. And it was fine, there weren't really any problems, but as time went on, started to evolve that there were problems, and all these ideas that they had about the walkways across, in reality, were quite dangerous because, you know, you could walk across there, and if something happened to you, if someone tried to rob you, well, you couldn't go anywhere because you were on this bridge over the middle of this dual carriageway.
Yeah.
And, you know, and walking round here is great for thieves because they've only got nip round a corner, you'd never find them. Because, you know, normal straight streets, you know where you are. But it's very, you know, you've got to be a bit careful in general because it's great for the children because they can ride their bikes and skateboards. And you know, what's them things they got now? Or them scooters.
Yeah.
And these other funny things that you got. But it's quite dangerous as a pedestrian because you don't know that they're going to come flying around a corner, which they do. And we've been very lucky because people have been hurt.
People have been knocked over, yeah.
Because they can't see you, you can't see them. Mm. You know, it's a blind corner. But, yeah, as time evolved and my sons became teenagers, we had a lot of problems with the Abbeywood Estate gang.
Yeah.
They used to threaten whoever they were here that if they went over there, they'd get them and all this sort of thing. And then there was a lot of problem with the gypsies as well.
Yeah.
Having said that, I never had a problem with the gypsies. But I suppose when they're teenagers, it's different, you know, because
it's like tribes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very much like that. And then you started getting kids with the lighter fluid and hairspray, sniffing hairspray. I think it's lighter fluid, isn't it? Not sure.
No, the hairspray, you spray it and then you set light to it.
Oh, that was when we were on holiday with the kids, yeah. No, but... and that was quite a problem. And then they used to stand under the balconies and do it if it was rain or cold or out of the way. Mm. And I used to call through the letterbox because... you know, tell them, you know, could they go? Anyway, it got really bad, and a couple of them was my neighbour's daughter, and another neighbour's daughter over there. Anyway, I reported it because I was worried for them.
Mm.
And I had someone put lighted paper through my letterbox and set my nets and my carpet alight. And I was out at the time and my boys were upstairs. And my friend knew that I was around the corner, so she came running to get me. So she hadn't known where I was, you know. But it did get very edgy. You know, you wouldn't go out at night on your own. And we did used to have quite a good police presence, but as time went on, I think that's where they've cut back and cut back and cut back. And, yeah, you know, I love the estate, and it doesn't bother me that we're multicultural, because every time there's people here, I'm not bothered. We've got Claudia and Ivan, haven't we, Brazilian?
Yes.
And the Polish are fantastic.
They are.
The only issue we've got is if people move in, and some of the houses around here are absolutely disgusting. They don't even put a bit of net up, which doesn't cost much. You know, some bits of curtain. And of course, if you bought your houses, which some people have, you're going to have trouble selling them, because it looks so bad with some of them. But, yeah, so there's that.
On the positive side, it's a great place to live, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I'm glad that my sons aren't teenagers, because the problems there are still there.
I worked at the first school, secondary school to be built on Thamesmead.
Mm.
I was employed before it opened. And as you said, a lot of the boys or children came from the East End of London from a house clearance, which is strange in some ways, because I used to work at the College of Furniture, which was let's go in, East India Dock Road, Gardener's Corner, which is no longer called Gardener's Corner. I've lost it again. I'm on. Gradually going.
It's okay. I know it's sometimes tricky to catch it again.
Just get some drinks.
Roger, do you have any particular fond memories of your time in Thamesmead or your time living in this house? Like, what are the highlights for you?
Well, when I was at the school, Waterfield School, that's near St Paul's Ecumenical Church.
Mm-hmm.
It was Waterfield School. I don't know what it's now. They were bringing people from the East End, but also other nations. And
have a drop while your throat's getting dry.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fetch my large megaphone. Mm.
Yeah.
it was great seeing all these children. And the strangest thing is we had warnings, because there were Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots.
Yeah.
And they said, we've got to be very careful because the two sides are still far apart. And if it gets down to the children, it could be dangerous. But it didn't happen. The kids got on, quite normally. And the Vietnamese, they were such fantastic kids. And I used to deal with them on several different levels. But when I first saw this group of Vietnamese, the girl had sort of half holes through her hands and at the other side, and I didn't say anything. And then one of the other teachers said she was escaping from Vietnam to go to France, and they fired on her, and she put her hands up and went through her hands. And you thought, gosh, all the things that they've been through, and yet when you're talking to them, none of that comes out. They're all normal children.
Yeah.
And we used to go away on trips, didn't we?
Mm. Tell them about the girl who'd done a photograph for, all her family were killed.
Oh yeah, this is a kid brought in a black and white photograph, about that size, probably passport photograph. And she said, could I reproduce it? And I thought, oh God, I've got to take a picture of it, then I've got to blow it up. You know, and I'm was busy, wasn't I, all the time? Very busy. I had my own dark room in Waterfield School. And I thought, it's going to be such a hassle. But something said, just do it.
Yeah.
So I did it and blew it up 10 by 8. And they were all dead.
Mm. Yeah, all her family had died, didn't they?
And that was the photo of her family.
Yeah.
Did she tell you that when you handed the photo back to her then?
No, no, it was one of the staff.
Mm.
The Vietnamese had to be... What was the thing when they go first into a school?
Integrated?
I'm losing it fast.
No, you're fine, Roger.
No, you're okay, you're doing well.
Sort of introduced.
Yeah.
So they didn't go into the mainstream straight away. They had lessons by themselves with teachers get them in, because they didn't necessarily speak that English very well.
Didn't you have teachers that, because there were so many nationalities, didn't there, and they're all support teachers teaching languages?
We had a bit of a problem as a school because. I don't know how they get on now, but when I first went to the school, and it only very, very recently, no, it hadn't been built, had it? But when it first opened, we had Greeks, Vietnamese, Turkish kids, all speaking different languages. And the problem we had is that we had to have interpreters for the kids, you know. So as we got more and more nations. We printed cards saying their nations, and we stuck them on the entrance hall wall just to show.
And it was welcome in their language, wasn't it?
Welcome, yeah.
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 So did you get to learn some of those languages?
And I've never been one for taking on language. I mean, we've been to Spain and I can order a roll.
ham on bacadilla,
por favor. Yeah.
That's about it, wasn't it?
And
I got the wine.
And those are two important things.
Yeah. And then you and I ran the Vietnamese school, didn't we, on a Saturday?
The Saturday school, yeah.
They did all these different subjects.
Yeah, we suggested that, didn't we?
And they had the money in those days. And then we had no problems. They were so well behaved, you know. And then... some of the kids in the mainstream school, you know, they started complaining, you know, saying, well, they're getting special treatment, you know, why can't we go? So in the end, they agreed that someone could come, and then we started having problems.
Yes. We also worked at the youth centre, didn't we?
Mm.
Both youth leaders.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So it was an interesting time. I sometimes think it was a happy time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't have many distressful incidents.
No, except that teacher went running down the hall one day screaming.
Oh, yes.
Saying he wouldn't come back. Was that the art teacher?
Yeah, it was.
Right.
I just remember seeing
this guy running. Man, I thought, and I said to Rod.
And then the one came in my room, just sat down and said, I can't do it, I can't do it. And she cried and cried and cried. Mm-hmm. I made her a cup of tea. Still didn't get a date.
But it was interesting for me because I'd never worked in a school, and Waterfield did have a lot of issues, didn't it?
Well, kids weren't used to open plan areas.
Yeah, that was very
multi-purpose
bad.
Areas.
Mm. Yeah.
It didn't work.
Then we had classrooms, if you like, round the outside, so they could do a year group lesson and then
break out into...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
And it wasn't an easy... system, that.
No.
And that teacher that kid picked up a chair and threw a chair at, and she ducked and ran into your office.
Oh yeah, well they came in quite often, didn't they, in tears?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. But,
so you were your office was a safe place then?
Yes. Mm. I had an electrified
people
fence.
People trusted you. Yeah, had an electrified fence.
But
that's for the teachers, not for the students.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was this lady called Carol that worked in, what was her actual job? Some sort of secretary, wasn't she?
Yeah, she didn't work for me. She worked with me, didn't she? Yeah, she was a typist, wasn't she?
Right, okay.
And also a youth worker.
Yeah, and very pretty girl, you know, but I used to laugh, really, because she used to wear tight jumpers and short skirts, and she was very religious, and they didn't really marry up to me. But
did to me.
Yeah, it did to him. So she came in one day because she used to cut Roger's hair. But unbeknown to me, they used to go into the dark room, which had a revolving door like a TARDIS
thing. Yeah.
And you went in there, and but she told us that she was going to bring a pudding bowl in and put it on his head. And we heard him in hysterics and screaming.
It's not really educational factors we're talking about, is it?
Oh, we don't have to talk education all the time, do we?
But we used to go on trips as well with the kids.
Yeah.
Where did I go?
Well, we went to Spain with them, didn't we?
Yes.
And we used to keep losing them because they'd never been abroad before and they wanted to have fun. And they just used to disappear. And the hotel had German kids in it, and all boys and girls, obviously. And they used to try and get in each other's rooms. So there'd be one of us in each corridor trying to stop the little buggers, you know. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'd love to get rid of that.
It's all right.
And some of them we had to go down the discos because they'd got down there, hadn't they?
Frightening because the rooms had balconies. And then in the next balcony was probably, what, this far away? And
They climbed over
and jumped to the next balcony to get to the girls. So we had to stop that. I don't know how.
And that's where
that.
The hairspray came in, wasn't it? Lighting the hairspray. It was the kids doing it, yeah.
Yeah, but they were only frying the Spanish, weren't
and
they?
We lost two in Barcelona, but we found them, didn't we?
No, we didn't lose them. They got booked for shoplifting, didn't they?
Oh, was it? Oh, I can't remember now.
But we
so
got
long
them
ago.
Out.
Yeah.
Managed to get them back in overtime.
Yes.
Home time for tea.
I got a teacher certificate, but not secondary, FE. But they sort of blurred the difference when if you were helping out. Mm. Yeah, so I ran a computer network.
Yeah.
And then the kids could come in. I didn't do the syllabus teaching. There was we had a Nimbus network and computer rooms, and that was all educational. Whereas mine, I didn't do that work. I introduced them to word processing and Macintosh network.
Yeah.
Nimbus didn't have, you couldn't use two programs on Nimbus at the same time, but the Macintosh network was so far ahead of it. You could do loads of it, and the
multitask.
Yes, the graphics and that sort of far superior on the Macintosh. So they used to send kids up to me.
But they used to send the ones that were in trouble as well, didn't they?
Yes, to keep out
of trouble. Go to Roger, because they didn't seem to play up with you, because you used to make them laugh and muck about, didn't you?
No, I was terrifyingly strict.
Do you remember the Christmas decoration you did in your office, and it was a banana skin?
Yeah, well, it seemed suitable. It was a decoration, wasn't it? I can't see what the fuss was about.
Is you expressing one of your creative moments?
It was, yes.
I don't see any banana skins around today.
No, that's because I'm in charge.
They were good times. And then myself and my technician both made redundant, weren't we?
Yeah, and I was as
and
well.
And you were at the same time.
Yeah,
because
what's his name? The leader of GLC at the time.
Yeah, well, it was because
they abolished Ilya, didn't they?
In an education
I can't think of his
authority.
Name, who was the mayor?
Cutler, no.
No.
So was that a surprise to you at the time? Did that come as a shock?
Oh, yeah, big shock too. Because they closed quite a few schools, didn't they? And the thing about our school, we had, say, closed circuit television throughout the school. I think we had maybe 40 televisions around the school, didn't we?
Yeah, you also had the music, was it the music studio?
Yeah, you know.
For the kids.
Yeah. So there was an enormous amount of money going into it. But what they'd done, which I found out later, they needed to build a brand new school and a brand new site at Thamesmead. So we don't want a brick-built secondary. It was Bailey, wasn't it, who built our schools?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. They wanted something that was different. So they got this plan off the shelf, and then it was an American school. So the school was built as little units all together. The walls weren't thick. Well, that's a bit like the wall there. That's not a wall there behind you. Yeah, that's a board with a gap in it. So the idea was, is if you wanted to change the classrooms round, you could take a wall down and then it would become a double classroom.
Yeah.
And the hall was brilliant with the, for me anyway, had sophisticated audiovisual aid facilities and spotlights and the whole thing. I'm rattling on a bit, aren't I?
No, it's lovely.
Well, yeah. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, that's the point of a story.
Yeah, but I got there by accident, actually, because I worked at London College Furniture in London.
Mm. Whereabouts was that, Roger?
It was Whitechapel.
Whitechapel, okay.
Yeah.
And it literally was a college specialising in manufacturing or cabinet making of furniture?
Yes, yes.
Really?
It was supported by the Inner London Education Authority, and they had some say over how it was used. But it was also supplied with money and materials from the furniture industry. You know Erco? Supplier of stuff and whatever they wanted. We had a fantastic machine shop, so you could bring a plank of wood in at the bottom, the entrance, take it into the machine shop, and by the time it got to the top, it was a suite of furniture.
Incredible, something like that. Yeah.
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 And everything in there to do it.
Yeah. A musicology department. So they made guitars and all that sort of thing, and was presumably taught music. But those are the good old days of the ILEA when there was enormous amounts of money.
I couldn't believe how much money they wasted, having never worked in a school, you know, and going in there and the waste and that. I trained as a youth worker, and I just managed to do all the courses before ILEA was abolished. It was about 3 weeks, and then I would have been too late. But they used to pay me £14 an hour, which was, you know,
at the time,
30
actually,
years ago.
Yeah.
Think, God, you know, thought that was a crazy. I didn't say no, obviously, but,
no,
you know, that's
hasn't.
A crazy amount of money to pay someone.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a lot of wastage.
I used to get a lot more than that, didn't I?
I don't know what you got.
Well, I had blue eyes, didn't I? So it made enormous difference.
Oh, of course
that,
it did.
That,
yeah.
Eye colour's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when we got made redundant, all of a sudden, you know, we were both didn't have jobs, not for too long, but, well, actually it was about a year, wasn't it? So all of a sudden, because I'd been so used to, like, my first husband went to America when my sons were 6 months and three. So I was in this house, all my family were in Wales, but luckily I had lots of friends. So I was faced with bringing up my sons on my own. So anyway, I've brought them up, and then I meet you, and then we lose these jobs. And I thought, this isn't going to work if we're both in this house all the time together, because I was so used to being on my own and being in charge and blah, blah, blah. So we went on a boat trip up the Thames, because it did take you quite a long time when someone makes you redundant, especially a man that's done it all his life. It wasn't so bad for me because I was part-time, you know, I had other little jobs as well. But and we went on this boat trip up the Thames, and this guy was chatting away like they do and giving you the history and making people laugh. And I said to Roger, you'd be good at that, because he liked history and laughing, joking. So he was like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, I went and got a Greenwich prospectus and a Bexley one and gave them to him. And it had a year's course for a Greenwich tour guide. So that's what he trained in, and that's what he did. And you loved it, didn't you?
Yeah, I taught it for twice.
Yeah, you taught two lots of courses as well, didn't you? But you'd done Elton Palace and the Observatory.
Naval College.
Chapel.
That's fascinating. I mean, of all the places in London, Greenwich has so much historic.
It is.
Mm. I mean, there's so much to talk about there. Mm. Do you still sometimes in your mind kind of go through that tour?
Well, if we, I like to go to Greenwich. I don't go that very often now, but I like to go to Greenwich just to see in my mind how much I can remember.
Yeah.
But when you're a tour guide in a place like Greenwich, or in, say, the Queen's House, you've got all these reminders.
Yes.
Because you walk into the Queen's House and you see the entrance hall and the floor, and immediately you can start chatting about it because you know all about it. I used to do loads, especially with foreign people, didn't I?
Mm.
Yeah.
Those Norwegians gave you bottles of, what was it?
Yeah, it was Norwegian whiskey. They came, I didn't do any of the bookings of these. They contacted the Greenwich tour guides, and then they book it, and then our leader,
Jill,
she would dole out the work. Anyway, I got these, what were they?
They were Norwegian, were they?
Yeah, I think so, were Norwegian. Yeah, because they were carrying a Norwegian flag, weren't they?
Right.
That's what. And they looked very happy, and I thought, well, that's a good start. And of course, everybody in the world speaks English. Now, I don't speak any language, so it's very good to be a tour guide in this country.
Yeah.
Anyway, they came when they were partly. And they were drinking, it was a Norwegian whiskey, I can't remember. They gave me a bottle, didn't they?
Yeah, but yeah, it wasn't English, I don't know, I'd never seen that make before.
Anyway, it was an interesting tour. I don't know how much they heard. They were very friendly.
But the best, not the best one, but one of them was, I don't know why, you were in Greenwich and there was a big do going on in the Painted Hall. And you went in there, or you'd had a tour in there, and this guy got hold of you, and you said, oh no, you know, I'm not part. And he said, no, sit down, sit down. And you ended up having this meal with all these officers, and I don't know what that
was. Oh, yes, it was the Admiral's dinner.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you gate crashed.
No, I was in the yeoman.
Oh, that's it, yeah, you've got to be in the hall to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, so. And then patrol the site.
Technically
so I did
working.
That as well.
Yeah.
And it just happens it was the Admiral's luncheon or whatever it was. And so I was asked to do some sort of security, you know, because I'm big, muscly, and
right.
Intimidating.
Yeah.
So I stood outside and I said, if you want anything, just please ask, you know. And he said, no, look, come here. And this Admiral, very nice guy, came, sit there, he said, sit there. Bottle of wine. So I had this incredible meal, and I was supposed to be
working.
But look, so I thought, I've got to get up and get. No, stay here. They're fantastic people, Naval. Well, mind you, you knew a few, didn't you?
Oh, my husband was a sailor, ex-husband.
Yeah. So they were great times. And the weddings, they were terrific.
Oh, God,
in the Painted
yeah.
Hall. Yeah, it's a long time ago from now, but in those days it was £10,000 to rent the Painted Hall, usually just for the front of the, can't think of the words now, the end of the Painted Hall where the painting is, the big painting,
yeah.
And then you'd have a row of seats put out. That meant that more than three quarters of the hall was empty.
Mm.
Yeah.
You had lots of adventures, really, with that job, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
You met people from all over the world.
Yes.
Mm. And people, if they were going to come back, or some of their organisation were going to book again, they'd say, you know, well, we'll ask for you, but you weren't allowed to do that.
No.
You know, you could only book up a Greenwich tour guide, so. They used to make up things that weren't true as well.
No,
didn't
I didn't make
you. Oh, What about the one about squirrel? What was that?
No, that was just to amuse the Americans. And we were walking up to the observatory and they see these squirrels on the tree and the Americans said, oh, squirrels. I said, yes, they're a necessity for tour guides. We're allowed to eat 6 of those barbecued a day. They sustain us. Oh, my God. I must admit, I'm very cruel to Americans. One of them said to me once, he said, yeah, I know we shoot squirrels and eat them, but they're a lot bigger than those. And I said, well, they came from your country, the grey squirrel, didn't they come from North America?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the invaders, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my memory's going now, but the best person to meet, they had a Harrison Hawk. See?
Yeah.
Harrison Hawk.
Yes.
About this big. And it was just scaring off the pigeons. And this bloke used to come round with this Harrison Hawk on his arm, and then he'd fly it round for, and he'd come back and he'd get paid, and that would last about 3 or 4 weeks, wouldn't it?
Mm.
He said the pigeons have the memory that somewhere in the area there's a hawk flying around. The hawk didn't kill the pigeons.
No.
I think it just said boo or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That was fascinating. So anyway, that was led on to, I had to take a, I suppose the word would be supplementary exam later, because you've got to keep your skills up. But you had to pass those exams to carry on guiding. And one of the questions was about where the stalls are inside.
Stalls?
Not in the Naval College, outside.
What, the market?
The market, yes, the indoor market.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm losing it all the time.
No, you're doing well, Roger, you're fine.
That's where he used to fly it as well, to get all the animals, because you don't want them crapping on the
on
public.
Yeah.
So, but it was very effective. But I couldn't believe that their pigeons sort of write in their diary, hawk here, sort of, and keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after 3 weeks, all clear, try again.
That's it.
Yeah.
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 Maybe it's a smell thing, I don't know. You wonder that, you?
Yeah.
Lots of people we've spoken to have spoken about the wildlife in Thamesmead as well, and
yes,
how they like it here because,
yeah,
of the wildlife.
Yeah, there's 14, I think there's more than that now, but there was 14 birds just on the lake.
Ducks. Yeah.
And I do a lot of photography because I do exhibitions in photography as well as textiles.
Mm-hmm.
So you name it, I photographed it, and I've given them hundreds of pictures for the archives. But yeah, there's lots of, and we got squirrels now, because the trees over in the school grounds, they were planted as saplings by the children years ago. Well, it must be at least 20 years now, and they're fully grown trees. So that's brought the squirrels, so they run across. But your friend John in Wales is not keen on squirrels because they strip the bark off fruit trees.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, we've got a cherry tree. Not that it's touched it. But so you get the squirrels running around as well. Or foxes, urban foxes. But they're not, we've got the mange, which is a shame.
Mm.
They're not really healthy.
That's not good.
No.
Mm.
Well, we don't invite them in, do we?
No.
Or eat them.
Or eat them, no.
No.
Give the economy a little chance and we'll be eating everything.
Mm.
I've noted the numbers of all the addresses of all the people around here who own cats. Because cats are quite tasty.
But there was a big thing a while back, wasn't there? Which nationality is it? They've been killing swans and eating them.
You're being recorded. The Polish.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't have to be careful what I say, do I?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Excuse me.
They do occasionally kill swans.
Rog.
Ah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that was happening from time to time, but in their own country, they, I don't know if it's legal in their country, but you know, they eat them or kill them or whatever.
Yeah, you're not allowed to hear, are you? Otherwise, the Queen gets upset.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
But the swans here aren't owned by the Queen. That's a fallacy, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know
isn't
that.
Isn't there a certain breed she owns? No, I'm not sure.
I think one's called Arthur and the other one's called... Oh.
No, there's different types of swans, aren't there?
Oh, maybe that's it.
Mm. I think mostly they're white, though. Oh.
That's true.
Yeah, so what else would you like us to...
Mm. Well, I think what you're telling us is absolutely wonderful.
Trying to think, really.
Well, you're the artistic one. That's where they came from the first time. Mm. You're going to show some things?
Well, do you want to do the journey quickly?
Yeah, I wonder whether it'd be really nice to... Yeah, for you to just talk about the things you've made and why. That'd be really lovely, wouldn't it?
But I've made over 100 things, so you could be here for a week.
Maybe pick your favourite three.
Well, there were the three things that you made that you were thinking about doing, using
for the balloon. Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, it's almost like there could be two stories here.
This
this story.
I think that was the story about...
We should be offering tea or coffee, shouldn't we? Do you want coffee?
Certainly not the two together.
He did say tea or coffee.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Do you want a coffee?
Yeah, I could take a coffee.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yep.
That'd be lovely.
If you've got 10p, I'll give you a biscuit.
Yeah, I think Neil's got the 10p.
Did you both say coffee?
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
My short-term memory's terrible.
Perfect. Well, if you come up with something else, we'll still drink it.
Yeah. We'll still drink it.
We'll smile. If there's sugar in it, we'll be sweet.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need sugar in it. We didn't mention sugar. No sugar.
This one, I'm not going to use this one because it's not finished yet.
Okay.
And I just can't get it right, you know, because when I look at it from the tracing, you know, I love it. And, you know, like compared to the picture where it's so drab, but it does look like a ship, you know, a boat.
I thought that,
You know,
my childhood memory of Death on the Nile.
The tracing is fantastic.
Oh, so right.
Yeah.
You know, the boat on Death on the Nile, the film.
Mm.
When I first saw that, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Like a river cruiser.
See, this was easy, that one, but this one, I don't know what to leave out, I don't know what to leave in.
Mm.
I want it to look balanced, which I don't think it does at the moment. And this is the bit on the top, which is okay there, but anyway, I'm not putting it in. So
that's okay.
I'll be using this one. And this one is Southmere Lake. And the green is all the background. It's not necessarily all the trees and the bushes, but just to keep it simple. And then this silver strip is of the walkway that goes all the way along. And then the rest is just to hold the design in.
Mm.
Yes.
But then these are the four tower blocks. I only did three because I took a photograph and there was only three, but it was the angle I took it at. And then someone said to me, you know, there's four. So I had to go and overlook. I've been living there all these years and I still had to go and
overlook. You had to count how many tower blocks
there
are.
It
depends on the angle where you're standing.
Yeah.
So there was four, so anyway, I made it, put another two in. So, my friend Elsie lived in one of these and I used to call her my surrogate mum. She was a wonderful woman and she had a little dog. And she was one of those people that was always happy, saw the best in everyone. You know, she was in a wheelchair, she was going deaf, and, you know, she had a lot of health things. Oh, and then she started to go blind, but you never heard her moan or complain. And anyway, she was my surrogate mum. So that's, a memory from there. And then the next one down is Beryl and Fred. And you'd go around there, and it was like a little palace, and you had all these cabinets. And she collected Swarovski crystal?
Mm-hmm. Swarovski,
And she had all these cabinets full of this crystal. And she was lovely, really, you know, nice, kind and well. And Fred, he was one of these really aggressive cockneys, you know, and he was always rowing with people. But he was a cab driver. And he was quite open. If he was getting flagged down up London and it was black person, he wouldn't pick him up. It was so racist, it was unbelievable. Roger met him because he used to, because underneath there are garages. Most of them are empty now, but there used to be garages there, and Roger met him because he used to park his car there. And Fred was always repairing his cab because it cost a lot of money to keep a cab on the road, apparently. So, so that's my story really for them.
Yeah, that was one of the two you showed. Was it? This one, wasn't it? That's right.
Yeah, and they were talking about that. Is it Connex exhibition, the one in there?
Yeah.
He was saying something about it's going to the Tate Modern.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So this and the picture of me in the Air Force and something else, I can't remember what now, the three things were going in. So that was that one. And of course that's the Tower Block as well, so it's sort of the same story really.
Yes.
So really it's, but there used to be a lot of problems with these. Because where they were joined, they leak. And people that have lived in them, they only used to be able to, they couldn't get mortgages. No building society would give them a mortgage.
No.
So they used to pay cash, apparently, or whatever you call me, I don't know.
Right.
But they couldn't get a mortgage for them because when Beryl and Fred sold theirs, they had a lot of problems and they got a lot less than they should have done. And their house was literally a palace.
Well,
you know, so but they're lovely flats. I'd be quite happy to live. I'd like to be in one that's on the walkway by the lake, and my friend was right on the corner.
So you already know the one you wanted.
I wanted. Yeah, right on the corner, overlooking the lake.
Yeah,
you know, right up the end there. Mm.
But then you can walk straight out to the walkway as well. So you've got
so you're all
that
on.
Becomes your giant balcony.
Mm. Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to be at the top.
No, not really. My son lived in one of the tower blocks years ago. Because years ago, you queued up.
Yeah.
They didn't want families above the third floor with children.
Yeah.
So they had all these empty flats, and you had to queue up. And you had to live. It had to be a son or a daughter or whatever it was that lived on the estate at the time.
Yeah.
And our son queued up, and just gave him this flat. So he lived up, he was quite high up because he took amazing photographs of sunsets from there.
Yeah,
you know. But that's all gone now, of course, you know, there's people on all the floors with children and but my brother lived in a tower block flat in Wimbledon, and he wasn't very happy because my other brother lived in Wimbledon. But they were given a townhouse like this, except the kitchen was downstairs. And my brother David, he got, and they had a girl and a boy, my brother Alec. Well, David, they got a flat and they had a girl and then they had another girl. They wouldn't rehouse them because they had two girls. Said, no, they can share a room as well. So his daughters were brought up on the ninth floor until they left, you know, when they were adults, so they never had a garden, they never, it's not really, you know.
No, it's a shame that, I know.
A bit nerve-wracking, because my grandson and Conrad's first wife used to live in one of them years ago, and I used to hate going there, because she'd have the door open, she had like a baby gate, but I used to think, you know, one day it could crawl over, and if they could pump something across, and, you know, it's not a way for children, really.
Oh, fantastic.
Full chest cross.
That thing, that's a...
Oh, you're out of breath.
You want a hand?
You need to sit down.
Okay.
Both coffees are tea for Dory.
Well, you've got a big crack in that tray. You need to be careful that when you pick it up, it doesn't suddenly drop the contents.
That's lovely, thank you very much.
Very kind indeed.
There's more biscuits.
That's perfect.
I just thought I'd put them on a smaller plate to make them look more...
Lovely.
Should have put them on a saucer.
Is it, Where shall I put the cup of tea? Or shall I... I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
No, I just want to try and pass
it. Yeah, I heard you say backpack. Where's that then?
Well, it's all down that side. I was only pointing it out because if you picked up the tray... If you picked it up like that...
You
might one day find that the whole thing falls on the floor.
No, we'd have to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Where's your coffee?
There's a room on the tray.
Yeah, I'll make you one now. Get your breath back. So I've just got a heart condition. And he can't walk far or do much, bless him. But fingers crossed, St. Thomas's Hospital found about the blue. And we're not quite sure whether he's going to be a guinea pig for this or not, but we've got to go up at the end of the month, and they're going to do CTs and scans and all sorts of tests.
Mm.
And if he's eligible and he's well enough, because he can't have a general anaesthetic, he'd have whatever you call the other one. And
it is a general anaesthetic.
No, you can't have it because of your
heart. General anaesthetic, see.
Is the one they put you out.
You mean it's a local?
Local.
You have
local.
Yeah,
you'd
have to have a local. You can't have a general because they said you
she won that one.
They said you wouldn't survive. But if he can have it, what they're going to do now, and I've never heard of it, perhaps it's a new thing, they're going to do keyhole. And replace the valve, his heart valve.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
thinking, well, surely, I thought heart valve was quite big.
That's
no.
No, it's not. But,
can't,
well,
can it? But
no, it isn't.
They're going to go in keyhole.
That's,
that makes a hole, you know, my imagination's running by it.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
They push it through the
they go through
valve.
Your groin,
that's
she
right.
said.
Not mine.
Shit.
I don't think it'd be for Dory.
No, I've had those.
That'd be the long route.
What did where they push a your stents?
Oh
yes,
yeah.
A stent. Yeah,
and they push it up your groin or your shoulder, don't they? Stents.
That's right.
Mind you, the bruises are fantastic for such a tiny little operation. I mean, it's a tiny thing, but pushing it up the artery.
That's it. Yeah.
And they say keep still and it won't hurt. And he says, well, it won't hurt you, but it's not doing much for me.
Yeah.
So I've had two or three of those. Then. So I'm still alive because of Doreen, because she does look after me.
Yeah, keeps an eye out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's very good. She doesn't let me carry anything. She always insists on carrying my wallet. So.
Hi. Oh, does that get lighter all the time as well, strangely?
It's, yeah, I do. You notice that as well, yeah. No, very lucky. I've got two scooters. One that folds flat, can go in the boot of a car, and the other one does about 118 miles an hour, I think. I've never tried. It's both electric, charged batteries. But I'm so lucky to be... So the people, generally speaking, are very, very generous to us.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, when I sit outside there on the cushion with my teacup, people are always dropping things into it, or weeing into it.
That's the way to do it. Oh, I'm not sure about the urine. But do you wear the dark glasses as well?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, with a notice saying deaf.
And confused.
Confused, yeah.
Definitely confused.
Well, that's true.
There you go. So, how long do you want to spend?
You didn't curtsy. Thank you.
Well, I think what we have is a beautiful recording.